The Garden State plans a stand against AIG.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. New Jersey is taking the lead of a 19-state coalition that wants answers from American International Group. Jersey and states like Ohio, Michigan, and Oregon are demanding AIG turn over the names of everyone that's received a bonus at the company since September 2008. They also want to know whether federal money was used for any of those awards. The states want to get back tax dollars that may have been spent on compensation. President Obama may have joked about his promise for a White House dog and his bowling abilities on last night's Tonight Show. But there were no cracks when it came to this whole AIG thing.
The immediate bonuses that went to AIG are a problem, but the larger problem is we've got to get back to an attitude where people know enough is enough.
The president reiterated his call for more regulation in the financial industry. He stayed away from giving any advice about the stock market. The Dow dropped 86 points, just a little more than a percent yesterday, to 7401. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 were also lower. Major markets in Asia slipped today, and European shares are pointed down right now. European Union leaders wrap up their meeting in Brussels today. They've been trying to put together a new framework for Europe's financial system. But there are two competing plans for the future of banking regulation. Christopher Worth reports.
Continental Europe has a blueprint for reforming financial regulation. A high-level group issued some recommendations last month, which includes international oversight of European financial institutions by the European Central Bank. The only problem is British Prime Minister Gordon Brown arrived in Brussels yesterday with his own plan for overhauling the system. Andrew Hilton of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation says the British would like to water down proposals for European control over British banks.
We are to wholesale financial services as the French are, say, to wine, or the Germans are to cars, or the Italians are to olive oil. And we want to keep that business here, and we want it to be regulated here.
The British have an uphill battle. France and Germany have thrown their weight behind a strong pan-European regulatory body, which will provide part of the framework that they'll bring to next month's G20 summit. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights will hold a meeting today to examine civil rights issues as they relate to the mortgage crisis. Ashley Milne-Tite has that story.
Reports show minority home buyers, particularly African Americans, are more likely to be in foreclosure than whites. Many observers say it's because they were pushed to sign up for mortgages they couldn't afford. Jim Carr is chief operating officer of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition. He'll be at today's meeting. He wants such practices to end, and he's concerned the current spate of bank mergers could be a missed opportunity.
With this economic crisis that we've been dealing with, bank mergers have been happening left and right without public hearing. And that's the one major time when civic leaders have an opportunity to ask, are the banks doing the right thing?
By the right thing, he means lending sensibly. He says some new regulations need to go into effect quickly, or when the economy recovers, a whole new cycle of wild lending could begin. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The Federal Trade Commission plans to use some new powers to bar lending practices by brokers who have deceived borrowers. The FTC got authorization to ban certain abusive practices in the spending bill that just passed Congress. Bloomberg reports this morning the FTC chairman wants to apply that authority to the mortgage industry.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue, fresh thinking on the moral, spiritual, and ethical aspects of the economic downturn. Gain perspective at speakingoffaith.org.
Sunday is World Water Day. With droughts hitting many parts of the world, there's a lot of talk about water conservation, or I should say conservation. Some companies are trying to get ahead of the issue by downsizing what they call their water footprints. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Caitlin Carroll explains.
Companies used to talk about carbon footprints. You know, measuring how much carbon is emitted when products are made. But as rainfall slows and the earth heats up, companies have started worrying about water, too. That's where water footprints come in.
You can't manage what you don't measure. And that's the fundamental logic here for getting people focused on their water footprints.
Dan Esty is director of Yale Center for Business and the Environment. He says companies like Coke, Intel, and SAB Miller see water as a risky commodity, especially as states and cities struggle with how to price it.
In the United States, we increasingly do have a price for water, and therefore companies are taking it seriously, especially in the drier parts of the country.
A recent study found more than 100 companies lost millions of dollars when crops died and manufacturing plants closed due to drought. So now companies are using rainwater recycling systems and irrigating fields of cotton, barley, and sugarcane with less water, and gaining some customer goodwill at the same time.
Hey, we're in the Levi's store, and here we have the straight legs, we have bootcut jeans.
At Levi's flagship store in San Francisco, Levi's rep E.J. Bernacki wades through piles of jeans. The company recently took the water footprint of one pair.
Here's the medium stonewashed 501, and this is the jean that we did the life cycle assessment on.
Levi's found that the jeans gulped up more than 900 gallons of water, from the cotton stage all the way to when the customer is done with the pair. About half the water came from cotton farming, and 45% was used by consumers, basically lost to the laundry cycle. Since then, the company's cut its own water use by 30% in the last year, using different finishing techniques on the fabric and recycling old denim into new jeans. And now it's turned the public's push for better practices on them.
Wash only when it's absolutely necessary. It's better for the environment, and it's also much better for the jeans.
Levi's is telling customers that washing is wasting. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Find more sustainability stories at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Hope your Friday is a good one and enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.